This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
What is good, y'all? Welcome back to another edition of the Malaga Drive Hoops betting podcast. It's your boy Caleb. We are back to talk some NBA basketball, some NBA finals basketball. We've got potentially the last game of the NBA season coming up. I hope you guys are doing well. I am finally like back in a rhythm, right? Like it has been almost a month to this point. We head to Europe. We headed, I'm back, just to be clear, but we went to Europe. That made things tough because it's, you know, a 9-hour difference. But to me, I was like, it's fine. It was already winding down, right? But then we got back from Europe, and then I got really, really sick, like nasty sickness in the stomach where, like, I just low energy, couldn't keep anything down. And so as a result, one, hard to record, but two, hard to even watch basketball, stay awake. But I'm finally back to like real life again. And so it feels really, really good, guys. And I know we've talked about it before. This again, potentially the last game of the NBA season. And we'll talk all about that. But going into the offseason, there's going to be plenty of fun stuff too. Obviously won't be a daily thing like it will be during the peak of when NBA is in full swing, which honestly, guys, it won't be that long. It'll be October, so it'll be a couple months, but it gets around quick. It's like as soon as your summer's over and you're kind of back in that fall grind, NBA rolls right around, and that is where we thrive. We will be here live every day breaking down slates, making money. But during the offseason, we'll still have, you know, we'll have Tyler and Sarge on. I got some fun things planned. We'll do an offseason thing for every team, how they did this year, what we can expect next year. We'll break down free. It turns into, we'll always do our best to relate it back to a betting thing, but like there's only so much you can bet on. And so it will be more of a news and analysis and just like content around the game itself rather than a betting thing strictly. The draft is coming up too, end of June. Hopefully we can find some things to bet on. Again, I don't have like any inside information. I have some friends that work in certain places or know certain people, but it's like they're probably not even going to tell me. They're not allowed to tell me either. So, and if they did, I don't even know if I could publicly say anything. So, but regardless, I've kept up with this cycle pretty well. I'm in a 30-team league and own multiple first-round picks. So, you know, I've been keeping up with the cycle. So we'll do some fun stuff there, but regardless, all that to say, plenty of stuff going on in the offseason. We will be here. Let's get into game 4/recap game 3. I was able to watch it, was still sick. So you know, you're not like fully locked in, didn't have money on it or anything, but like, you know, enough to watching the game. And it's just tough. You know, it's just funny because the Western Conference is the better conference, had the majority of the better teams. You know, obviously at this point, easy to say Celtics were the best team, but Mavs just kind of feels like, you know, the Mavs go through a gauntlet of teams. The Celtics go through a much easier path. They're like, there's no matter how you look at it, much easier path. But because of that, at least for me, you know, it's like, it was like, all right, obviously the Celtics seems really good. And I talked about if I had to pick it straight up, I'd go Celtics. But that, based on the odds, I would have gone Mavs. So I like maybe Celtics slightly more. But just the fact that, you know, the Mavs had been so battle-tested in terms of going through a Clippers team that is pretty damn good. Yeah, they were without Kawhi Leonard, but still pretty damn good, experienced basketball team, experienced in the playoffs, experienced really high-level coach, didn't have a home court. Beat them. Didn't have home court against the OKC Thunder, who are a young team inexperienced, but very talented, very energetic, athletic, had their warts, which showed, you know, throughout the series too, but took care of them without home court. And then you go against Minnesota, a team that took care of the reigning champs. And to me, yeah, it was a very different team than the Denver Nuggets. But to me, I picked Timberwolves just because of how dominant they were against the Phoenix Suns, how they beat the reigning champs in the Denver Nuggets. And they took care of them handedly in five. And so just because of the way that the, you know, their path had gone, I was like, you know, this is going to be a really good series. And then obviously it hasn't been. And it's disappointing. And there are times, right, where it's a 3-0 series and it's like, damn, like this is closer than 3-0. I'm not saying maybe that the Mavs deserve to get swept, but like, I mean, the Celtics are a deserving 3-0 winner right now. And it just feels like offensive. And that's the other side of the Celtics that I think didn't get enough love throughout the years. Yeah, it's very good offense. And it is a variant offense in terms of, you know, they take so many threes, but the defense is really, really good in Boston. And right now it just feels like the Mavs are climbing uphill. And you see, this is kind of the – and I know the Mavs aren't as heliocentric as maybe the Rockets were in the past in the James Harden era, but this is the issue with heliocentric offenses, is it becomes very predictable and almost a lot of times, and you're seeing it, the best way to play it is to let that heliocentric player beat you with twos. And it's a very, very tiring game to play. So when the fourth quarter comes – the dude is gassed. Luka is gassed. You're not making as good of a decisions. Even those shots that you're draining earlier in the game become tougher. And hell, even if you do it and beat a team with it, are you going to beat them four times with it? Right? I don't know. And so you're faced now in a situation where, yeah, Luka Doncic is still the best player in the series, but the Boston Celtics are a far superior team. And you're just saying it is an uphill battle for the Mavs on offense right now, and they just are not able to sustain enough offense to the point where it's like, even if they're scoring, it's like, okay, can Kyrie and Luka keep that up? Because they're essentially just making tough shots, and it's not enough. Where the Celtics are like, it's a completely different game for them. The Celtics are just generating good looks, and it's okay. They maybe they're cold right now, but because of the quality of their looks, it's a matter of time before they get going. And then generally they're threes. And so you're saying, yeah, Mavs are the best player in the series. And Kyrie's up there too. But, you know, after Kyrie and Luka, the Celtics got JB, JT, Derek White, Drew Holiday, Kristaps, who I know is out, Al Horford. And, you know, it's a big drop off. It's a big drop off from there. So, compared to the Mavs guys. And again, you know, Mavs fans have got to love what DJJ has done for them, got to love what PJ Washington's done for them. But again, it just always felt, and I talked about it before when they were playing these teams in the other series, it just felt like these guys are playing over their head. And it's funny because it's not even like it's a different style. Like it's not even like in the OKC series especially, it was like, all right, let PJ and Derek Jones Jr. beat us. It's not even like that's the way that they're playing now, but still, now because they're getting less shots, the rhythm's not quite there. And so when they do get them, they're not hitting them at nearly as high of a rate as whereas before it was like, all right, I can almost bank I'm gonna get like 6-7 wide open threes in this game. I'm gonna be able to find my rhythm, and it's been tough. Now game four comes along and. I know everyone's going to rush to bet the Celtics and hit it. I wouldn't be as quick to do that. And everyone's betting the Celtics and, you know, the Mavs were 2-point favorites in game three and have come down to pick them. And that's usually a sign of where things are and the books like the Celtics. And I get all that. But to me, it's just a pride thing. It's just a pride thing. And I do think if I don't know that I'm going to even bet it, I probably won't bet it. But to me, I would not be shocked at all. And if I had to bet, I would be this way. It would be the Dallas Mavericks. You still have the best player in the series. And it's just a pride thing, man. You're not trying to go down on your home court and get swept in the NBA Finals. Yeah, this series is probably over. Yeah, we're probably going to lose in five. But Ain't no way we're going down in four, getting swept after as far as we've come, and we get swept on our home court. I have trouble believing that that's going to be the outcome, and that these guys are prideful NBA players, man. These are grown ass men that have gotten this far. I don't see them going down this easily. And I think it'll be a close game, but I think when push comes to shove, the Mavs are going to find a way to win this one. For the same reason, I like them first quarter. They won the first quarter barely last game. They won by one. Right now, the first quarter spread's -1. So, right, the books are already kind of like looking at that a bit. I like -1 in the first quarter. If you want to take first half, fine, but I like first quarter. And then I like full game for the Mavs. Who knows? I might be on it. And there's no crazy analysis. The Celtics are going to win this series. The Celtics are going to be NBA champions. But to me, you get a Dallas Mavericks team that is still a very good basketball team, that still has the best player in this series, that still has Kyrie Irving. And that is a prideful group and a group that's had a really, really good season. And I don't think they get sent home. I don't think they want to get sent home on their home floor. And I don't think they will get sent home on their home floor. I think a lot of people, it's easy to say, oh, you know, they're going to fold. They know, like, this thing's over. And, you know, internally they may not admit it, but they may know it's over. But that does not mean that they're going to mail this game in. And so for all those reasons, I like the Dallas Mavericks to win this game. And you saw last game, yeah, the Celtics were the better team. But if Luka Doncic doesn't get talk about that too, because got thrown up too, and I think he did admit that as well. But if Luka Doncic doesn't foul out there, you never know. You never know, because they had all the momentum. They had all the momentum. Boston could not score. 20-2 run or whatever it was at one point. They couldn't score. And so if Dallas can find a way to get stops and disrupt this Boston rhythm, right, because they are having trouble scoring in the half court. But to me, a lot of times when we talk offense and struggling to score and all that, to me, the way to solve a lot of that, which I don't think a lot of people think about, the way to solve not scoring at a high level or scoring the way you want to or as consistently as you want to is to play better defense. Because when you play better defense, now you get the ball back and you're attacking a non-set defense. You're running in transition. That generates rhythm not only for your better players but your role players. And now someone somewhere, whether it's Kyrie, Luka, or the role players, someone has rhythm. And then that is when it translates to the half court. And now certain shots that were tougher in the half court are going down in the half court. And then things start to loosen up from there. And so for me, their defense has been good all playoffs. And they wouldn't have come this far. I know Luka's, you know, and we will talk about Luka. I know Luka's Luka, but the team defense has been good. And there are still times where Luka can get beat and he can funnel to a big, and you can still force a tough shot at the rim, and that's fine. But I do think if they are able to disrupt some rhythm, play, get something going on defense, and then get out and run and build momentum and rhythm for the guys in that way, they can win this game, right? Especially you get at home, the crowd's going crazy. They just got to find some sort of sustained run in the second half. Have it be close, whatever, in the first half, and then you got to find one sustained stretch and run in that second half, and then we're in business. Then we're in business.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And I think the Dallas Mavericks can do that. Let's talk Luka, and then we can get into props. Luka is on his way to being the best player in the league. I don't blame you at all if you want to continue to go Jokic. And to me, Jokic is the best player in the league right now. I will say that. I'm just saying he's on that trajectory where if you had to ask me – I guess it's tough. Wemby puts a wrench in it. Regardless, at worst, in 3 years, Luka's a top three player. At worst. And I wouldn't be surprised if he's the best player. Right? But to me, you see this is kind of an area that he needs to work on is the leadership aspect, which that's why I think Kyrie's been so big. Kyrie's been so big on the court. Kyrie's been so big as a leader, just leading this team emotionally and showing the young guys, you know, what it takes. Luka needs to work on his shit. Like the shit that he's doing, when he loses his head, bro, it is unbearable to watch. It is just unbearable to watch when he loses his cool. Because it's just not, and I know this is nothing new. Everyone knows. Nonstop whining, nonstop crying. You saw it yesterday. That was a dumb, dumb charge to try to take. And then he's yelling at his bench, you better fucking challenge that. It's just like, dude, if Luka can just realize that he's at his best empowering his teammates, he's at his best staying calm, not reacting to refs, he's going to get calls. He's going to get calls. He's not going to get every call, but he's going to get calls. Things are going to work out for him and his team in the long run much, much better than what he's doing with the crying that he does so far. And that's like the one thing holding him back. Not the one thing. The defense is the other thing. Is I've seen Luka in shape. It's weird to me. I don't know. I almost think that it's like – because you saw it with Jokic for a while too, and Jokic has completely retooled his body and – you don't really look at Jokic's fat anymore. Obviously, his natural body type is big. He's not fat, right? He's not fat at all anymore. And I think he was fat before. But you see it with the guys who are so uber talented that I almost feel like there's less pressure on them to get in shape because they can dominate games even without the being in elite shape the way a lot of NBA players are. And so to me, I think that's the thing with Luka is he's been able to get so far and he's had success. He's been a multi-time MVP or no, he's been a multi-time first team all NBA. He's going to win an MVP. Jokic's been the multi-time MVP, my fault. But I almost think that it's like, because he's had all this success that he's never really felt the need, maybe not felt the need, but there's less pressure on him to do it. And I just think for some people, it's naturally harder for a guy that's naturally less gifted. It's like, you know, you need to do it because you need every little edge in the book. But Luka, he hasn't necessarily needed that. And so as a result, you see, it takes a little bit, more, I think. And I think this is kind of the season that'll show him, hey, I got to just do that. Because if I do that, then there's nothing left. Now they can't target me on defense. Because Luka's capable. Obviously, he's a little bit more slow-footed, and he'll never be a lockdown defender. But I feel like a lot of the defensive deficiencies at this point are he's gassed. And it's really hard when you have the load that he has offensively. But there can still be more there. And you could see it. Like, I've seen him when he's cut up. Maybe not cut up. But I've seen a trimmer Luka before early in the season. And it just seems as the later we get, as the season wears on, he finds his way back into the trier version of himself. That's a little bit of a tangent on Luka. He's an incredible basketball player. But, you know, to me, he's got to work on the whining. He's got to work on the mindset. And, bro, just lock in on your nutrition. And the offseason, you know what? You can go gain your 10, 15 pounds and then cut it right before the season, but the margins are still, to me, slim enough, especially with the team like the Dallas Mavericks, where it's like they need him to be special. Because yeah, they have a co-star, but then, you know, the supporting cast around that gets weaker. All right, let's get to props. To me, Luka Doncic points, as we talked about, I like over 32.5. He's gonna go down swinging. In fact, we're going to just put 20. We're going to put a half unit on that. Luka Doncic over 32.5 points. I really, really like that. Again, Boston Celtics switching a lot of things, leading to matchups that I think Luka likes. And then Luka doing his best to attack those. And I think on top of that, knowing, hey, I'm defensively getting targeted, I've got to score. And so I think this is a matchup that he is more of a score first in. And I don't think that changes. We've seen that in three games now where he is much more score first. Obviously, he didn't have a good game last game with 27 points and hasn't hit this line in any of the games. But he's had 30 in game one, in a game where they got completely blown out, took 26 shots. 32 in game two, right? Just got hooked there, but was efficient. And then last game, 27, but took 27 shots. So I think Luka, you see him, it's your 34 to 35 points game. We've locked that in. On the other than that, that's the only thing I'm touching. I like Kyrie, but not going to go there. On the Celtics side, I continue to like Jason Tatum assists. Obviously, we were on him in game two, or I don't think I officially said it on the pod, but we were on him in game two. 5.5 again. I like it. Plenty of a potential assist. Sometimes they go, sometimes they don't. But like that. And then I don't know. Like, other than that, I don't mind Drew Holiday assists. His line's up 4.5. He's gone over that two of the three games. I like Derek White threes. He becomes a spot up 3-point shooter in these games and in these really these playoffs. It's at 3.5 at plus money. I like that. Going to get plenty of opportunities and has hit in two of the four games. One he had three, one he had two, but in both those he took 8 and 9. So you're getting he's getting 10 looks, 9 to 10 looks a game. He can hit four, and you're getting in at plus money. I like that. And then I like Jason Tatum assists. I do. But only thing I've locked in is Luka right now. But I love you guys. I appreciate you guys for rocking. I know it's been inconsistent, but we'll get in rhythm as this offseason comes. And then obviously very, very excited about already next season. Going to be a monster season. We're going to be recording every single day. May miss some weekends, but for the most part, every single day. Have some fun guests on in the summer. But it's going to be a fun summer. I love you guys. I hope it's not the last game of the year. I think the Mavs battle and find a way to win. But if it is, it's been a hell of a season. I love you guys. We'll talk next pod. Peace.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.